हरे ओम सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So, Anvikshika, the science of inquiry, Mangalacharan. Let us offer our respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Using principles of Anvikshiki, he expertly presented the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. To uproot erroneous atheistic principles and establish the pure science of Krishna Bhakti all over the world. Anvikshiki refers to both Atma Vidya, the science of the soul, and Hetu Vidya, the science of critical analysis, logic and reason. As Atma Vidya is described in various philosophical studies, Hetu Vidya was formally organized by Gautama Rishi's Nyaya Sutra. We will study Hetu Vidya in its relation and subordination to the Vedic version. Right, so in other words, Anvikshiki means this combination of philosophy and logic. Right? So this knowledge of logic, I mean of the so understanding what is our science. So this Atma Vidya means any of these things that we're studying, the Bhagavad Gita, anything like this. But specifically, technically, then when we're going through this, the concepts of the philosophy, the Dasamul, how the different sampradayas, how they approach the philosophy, the Vedic concepts of the philosophy, like this. So that will be your Atma Vidya. Right? This Hetu Vidya then will be how to then analyze something. Right? How to analyze it, how to present it. So then that brings in your Panchanga Nyaya, your Tatparya Lingas, like right this aspect. So in other words, Sambandhabhide Prayojana, the Vastu Tri, that's your Atma Vidya. Right? And the Hetu Vidya will be the Panchanga Nyaya Tatparya Lingas. Does that make sense? So that's basically what you're doing. So that combination of these two, that makes Anvikshiki. Right? In other words, you have your philosophy and you have your logical way of presenting it and analyzing it. So that connection then is Anvikshiki. So it's very important because if you know the philosophy but can't analyze it or present it, then there's a problem. Or if you can analyze things but don't know the philosophy, there's a problem. Right, so devotees many times know the philosophy, don't know how to present it. Then you have the modern, you know, academics and other so-called philosophers. They don't actually have any philosophy. They don't have any Atma Vidya, but they have Hetu Vidya. And so then they argue and make it look as if we don't know what we're talking about. So when you have both, then you can stand your ground. You can present things very nicely. Otherwise, the problem is that you're going to have this element where you know, but you can't explain. And that's difficult, especially then when other people are, you know, how you say, by their attitude and by their, you know, how you say, techniques of debate and presentation are able to make the Vaishnava philosophy look in a bad light, right? Because that's all they're doing. They're atheists, so they just make it look this way. Okay, so does that make sense? Right? So in other words, it's studied in connection with the philosophy here, but it's its own science on its own also, just like Mimamsa is the philosophy, how you're going to view, how you're going to interpret the scripture, right? Then you have Nyaya, which is another book, right? Because so these are two of the 14 books, but the combination where those are applied together, that's Anvikshiki. Okay? The goal of this study is to train preachers to analyze and successfully present Srila Prabhupada's teachings in a logical and systematic manner. The students will become familiarized with the Vedic system of hermeneutics, or discerning the meaning of Vedic text, as is practiced within the Mimamsa schools. This will help the student in understanding Shastra and presenting the Vedic version to others in a convincing manner. In this regard, we present a quote where our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, speaks of the importance of Vaishnavas using Mimamsa to establish the correct understanding of Shastra. Quote, by the influence of the Supreme Lord's bewildering Maya, envious impersonalists read the Abheda Vakyas, impersonal statements, literally and accept the Beda Vakyas, statements of difference, only in a figurative way. Authoritative Vaishnava commentators, on the other hand, carefully reconcile the apparent contradictions in accordance with the interpretive principles of Vedic Mimamsa and the logically established conclusions of Vedanta. Srila Prabhupada purport, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.85.24. So you're going to have the statements where you're showing oneness, right? So then the impersonalists will take that directly. And then when you're dealing with the Beda Bhakyas, the statements of difference, you take that figuratively. Right? Oh, it's just an example. It's just giving like that. Does that make sense? So they won't balance it because that's what they're trying to establish. The point is everything comes from Krishna. It's non-different from Krishna. At the same time, Krishna is different from it. Otherwise, how is he the source of it? Right? You know, a man, he has a business. So the business is non-different from him, but he's still different from the business. Right? It's his energy. So like this, then it's there. So this technique is very commonly used. That's why it's very important to be able to understand logic and the philosophy. Because otherwise, then we see is just like some even devotees will say that the different stories in the Bhagavatam, they're just analogies. So if it's analogy, then they do like this. They just make it a figuratively speaking. They just turn it into a written technique. What's that called? Embellishment, what we said before, it's like a literary device, that's all. It's no more than a literary device to, you know, tell a story, to get a point across. Right? Does that make sense? So misunderstanding, then its root is coming from the academics, the modern academics. But devotees do think like this. So they're doing the same things that is being done here by the impersonalists, by the atheists. That they're taking something that's important. They can't balance anything. They don't understand it, then they just throw it out. They just relativize it, make it into something simple, it doesn't matter. Rather than, I don't understand it, how to put it together. Because it takes intelligence to be able to work with two contradictory things and reconcile them. That's what the acharyas do. Right? And that's what those in pursuance of the acharyas, they make their attempt also to do the same thing. But if you don't understand it and you throw it out, then it's very difficult to claim that you're a true follower of the acharya. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole point. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he read that it had been given, you know, by the acharya, that the Kama Gayatri has 23 and a half, you know, syllables in it, he couldn't understand it. Because he knew grammar, but he couldn't understand it. And so he was trying everything, looking everywhere, checking all the shastras, couldn't find it. And so his point was, I can't understand it, but I will never doubt the acharya. So since I can't understand it, and I can't, you know, because he has that kind of analytical intelligence, therefore he decided, well, then maybe I should just kill myself, you know, rather than reject the acharya, right? Nowadays, you don't even take it that far. It doesn't make sense, you reject it on the spot. You know, he'd already done the search. Then in the dream, I think Srimati Radharani came to him and said in the Sanat Kumar Samhita, then it's explained, because there's a particular grammatical point that's not very common. And so in that state, then it's considered a half mantra, right? So in this way, then it's 23 and a half, 24 and a half, Oh, 24 and a half. Okay, whatever. So it comes out like that. Are you sure it can be? Because you can only have 20. Huh?
1, 2, that's 10, and 1, 2, 3, and a half moons.
Moons, but the 4 has the half.
Yes.
But in a Gayatri, you have 24 syllables. That's why it's a problem. Because otherwise, then you're saying there'll be 5. Because you have the forehead, you have the face, and you have the eyes.
Okay, 1, 2, then 3, then the dots, that's 4, then a half.
Oh, okay. So it goes that way. Okay, so in other words, there was a half difference than what you would expect. And so for that half, then he was in anxiety. So in the Sanatkumar Samhita, then it explained it. And then he was comfortable, right? So that's the method. The Acharya explains it. If it doesn't make sense to others, you find a way to support it. You don't sit there and say, yeah, well, I also didn't vote for it. You know, I don't understand it. Right? If you're part of it, you're responsible. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it's got to be right. The Acharya has said it. Right? They make no mistake. They're not conditioned. We may make a mistake. They won't make a mistake. So that kind of faith, that's what makes things work. That's what gives revelation in Shastra. Right? One who has that faith in Guru and Krishna, they understand the Shastra, not anyone else. Right? That's why someone can be very scholarly, know so much, but at the same time miss the point. Right? The academics, they study so much. The scientists, they're so intelligent, but they miss the point. Scientists are so intelligent, but they can't understand there's a God. Right? Everything's by chance. So at the same time, as they have to be able to explain everything by numbers. You know, well, how did it happen? Oh, it's just by chance. No, they have to know there must be a way mathematical. So how did that happen? Oh, by chance. You understand? There's something wrong in their brain. Right? So this is because there's no faith in Guru and Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes.
How can a neophyte tell who's conditioned and who's not?
How can a neophyte
tell who's conditioned and who's not?
How can a neophyte tell who's conditioned and who's not? Basically, they're just respectful to everybody. So that way you don't worry about it. That's the Hindu method. You don't know, you just be respectful to everybody. Because we see in the final sense, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making the point that someone who is qualified for initiation, then he respects even those who are not respectable. Like that. Does that make sense? So that principle is always there. So it's not a bad thing. So others, it's by their qualities. Here it's by lack of it. But in any case, you're doing the same thing. You're following the same culture. Like that? I mean, so the neophyte doesn't know, so he follows the culture of respect. The Madhyama can distinguish, he follows the culture of respect. The Uttamadhikari doesn't care, and they follow that culture of respect. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So it's always, the culture is always in place. It's very, very important. Sometimes we throw it out, these qualities, they get in the way. They seemingly they seemingly slow things down, and the efficiency of, you know, the world moving forward, you know, how you say, pushed by time and the modes of nature. So that's so important, that culture and etiquette, which is the eternal principle, then is the relationships between the living entity and the Lord, right? Between the devotees. That takes a back seat to efficiency of getting something done. But we have to know that there's the efficiency of getting it done, and there's the consciousness of it, right? Prabhupada tells the story of the devotee in Jagannath Puri. And his service to Jagannath was he would bring water every day for the bath, his bath water. So then when he got old and he was about to die, then just before he died, he was worried, now who's going to bring the water? No one's bringing the water. And so then with that thought, he died. But he didn't go back to Godhead. Why?
Because he was so worried about the service, he wasn't even realizing what it was for.
Yes.
So he could come back to be the person that can bring the water.
He could come back to be the person to bring the water. That's possible, yes. That's there. But what's what? But is that our process, right? Because he didn't think of the Lord. The point is, he's bringing the water as service to the Lord. So he's supposed to be thinking of the Lord. That's why Krishna says, "Perform your duty with knowledge," right? Thinking of Krishna. Otherwise, you'll just do the service, and that's all efficiently getting it done. That's okay in the beginning. But with time, it should be that the person you're doing it for is also part of your consciousness. Does this make sense?
Right?
So this element of the service is nice. It's important. Why? Because it's a medium of that affection you have for Krishna. Right? So devotional service. But if we only focus on the service and not on the devotional part, then it's a problem. So in the beginning, because the service is new, the tendency will be, the focus will be there more. So that's okay. But as we mature, then it has to become, we have to bring that out. Otherwise, what happens when we become expert at our service? Where does the mind go? Right? When we're new at it, the whole attention's on the service. But once we become good at it, then it becomes habit, and then where does the mind go? Where does the consciousness go?
Proud.
It becomes proud, and then what does it think about?
Yourself.
I'm so good.
I'm good. Also thinks about, gets into other things to keep you busy, local gossip, you know, criticizing, finding fault, all these different things will happen, right? So that's why it's very important to understand this, because then the devotee, all those effort that he puts in and that focus on this, when it becomes habit, then he starts putting it into the refinement of it. Right? That's how Lord Chaitanya gives. It means the example is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya cleans the Gundicha Mandir. The first cleaning is the gross cleaning, you know, sticks and stones and dirt and, you know, everything that's obvious. The second cleaning is he goes back, and then they get in the cracks between the stones and get out all the dust and everything, and then wash it with water. Does that make sense? So the example is then given, means the example is given that the first cleaning is like you're getting the anartha, and you're getting rid of all the gross things. But the refinement is then getting rid of the fine things in the consciousness. Right? So that we'll discuss in the evening class, right? Because that comes up with the four kinds of anarthas. Right? So, yeah, yes?
How do you start thinking of the Lord when you do your service? Because sometimes you feel artificial and you don't really know who Krishna is.
But even if we don't know, we want to know. You know what I'm saying? Because if we don't know, but if we have that desire to know, then we'll, how you say, be in the situations in which we can know. But if we don't want to know, then we won't find out. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the point, is we've heard about him, it means we hear the glories and everything, sounds very interesting, right? So we may not know, but then we would want to know, we want to be attracted, we want to have develop that attachment, because we know that that's the perfection. Everybody else who has it says this is the best thing. And no one else can come up with anything better, right? And so therefore, then it looks like it's something intellectually, then we understand this is worth endeavoring for. Then we try to know. So it's the process of knowing. We read about him, hear about him, associate with the devotees who are inspired, chant the holy name, which is associate with him in the form of his name. And in this way, then we start to... Does that make sense? So it's not that we're totally absorbed in Krishna, and so we can't do the service. No, Arjuna, he's thinking of the fighting. But his purpose of that fighting is for Krishna. So it was being pointed out in the story with the pujari bringing the water, is he's bringing the water because he's supposed to bring the water. But he's not remembering that he's bringing the water to please Jagannath. So that's the point. It's not that you have to be 24/7 thinking of Krishna like that. It means you're either thinking of him or chanting his name or rendering service that you want to please him with. Does that make sense? You know, it's like in the temple, the 24-hour kirtan in the temple. Then it's, you know, Mangalartik is kirtan, the class is kirtan, like this, any of those kind of, you know, services or kirtan, and then in the gaps, then they do bhajans and chanting Hare Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's 24-hour kirtan, includes like that. The Akhanda Nam, that's where they only will chant Hare Krishna and there can't be anything else, so that's why we have it down at the front gate, because then people will get upset that, you know, you're stopping and singing Mangalartik, which is about, you know, the Lord and his devotees, you know, or Bhagavatam class. So that's why then some take the Akhanda Nam aspect and others take the kirtan. Kirtan is any form of Shravanam Kirtanam, like that. Does that make sense? So there'll be that variety in the life, but the point is that you're conscious that who it's for. You may be focusing on the activity, but it still works. So if in that we want to please Krishna, we want to know Krishna, then we will. Does that make sense? Because it's all based on desire. That's the whole crux of it. Is that we accept Krishna, and then everything goes that direction. We reject Krishna, then everything goes the other direction. Because the jiva is too small to actually make anything happen. He's the minutest of all the energies. So he has to connect himself with the other energies to actually be efficient. Right? So then the jiva being connected with the internal potency, then naturally Krishna will be revealed more and more. And if he connects himself with the external energy, then Krishna will be covered more and more. So since we're already covered, then our desire to you know, serve Krishna, please Krishna, that will start the process of uncovering. So that's what we can do as desire. So that the intensity of that desire, the focus of that desire, then that makes the efficiency of it. Is that okay? You know? So that's why there's a regulation, because otherwise one day one's enthusiastic, the next day you don't feel like it because of our conditioning. So it's every day we have to chant our rounds, every day we, you know, follow the program and do these different activities. So then in a regulated way we're getting purified. Those days that we're very enthusiastic, the purification will be greater. Those days that we're not, it'll be less, but in any case it's there. So then by gradually we come to the point of purification, and by good association, then we really, it increases our desire to know Krishna and, you know, to develop that relation. So then it becomes very dynamic. Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to get to, like that. So by our own endeavor, you know, focusing on doing everything right and proper, that'll bring us to the stage of nishtha, where we're stable and steady in our service. But if we continue that way, that with that, and then you add to it that desire that I want to develop love for Krishna, then only we'll get to ruchi. Right? Means, but it's still our own endeavor. So it's that it's divided that the Kanista platform, the Madhya platform, is by our own endeavor that we can advance by our own determination. But the Uttam level, that is by basically, you qualify, you will be invited, like that. But still, that determination, that still must be there. Even you're invited into that circle, you still have to have that determination. Then that was what will make it become perfect. But within the neophyte and the madhyam, one can bring oneself from the neophyte platform to the madhya platform through the proper performance of his devotional activities, the sadhana. But to make it dynamic, where it gives that life, then there has to be a desire to develop love for Krishna. Then ruchi and attachment, I mean taste and attachment will come. Does that make sense? You know, so that can start at any time. The newest devotee can have that desire, I want to develop love for Krishna. So already that process is happening. So then when they get to the stable platform, then that will be very dynamic and very quick. Because you're already developing some taste, but it's being distracted by our, anartas, like that. But once those are removed, then that's the main determination, and so then it moves very quickly. Is that okay?
The aspect of, we may not know Krishna, but for that reason, we have faith in one's guru. And then
yeah.
Guru He knows Krishna, so he will develop. He's the one who will show us Krishna.
Yeah, that's very important. Well, that's why he's guru and Krishna. Because it says, by grace of Krishna, one gets guru. By grace of guru, one gets Krishna. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami explains, then, when the living entity wants to know God, then Krishna sends him the spiritual master. Then by serving the spiritual master, then we'll know who Krishna is. Like that. So that's there. So then that would mean if we're taking it here, then in the process, by wanting to know Krishna, develop the love for Krishna, then naturally our faith and attention and focus on following the order of Guru and pleasing him will then become more prominent. May Srila Prabhupada bless the students of this course to always remain chaste to his teachings and never be illusioned by speculative materialistic arguments based on karma and jnana. May these students always be victorious. Okay, so that ends the Mangalacharan. So then now in this, I'm not sure if they... Okay. So by what we studied before, then... What has been done in here? Who have we offered respects to here?
Srila Prabhupada
specifically, and then and through that to the acharyas, all right. And then, so what is being presented here? What is the subject matter of this paper?
The purpose why it's so important to learn whatever is going to be presented in the paper. Means that why is so important that we are able to know the philosophy nicely and also explain it nicely.
Okay, so that will be, okay. And so then, so in one sense that's done, but exact. So then that's touches on that, but that's more along the line of what you can do, right? Yeah, the subject on Vikshiki means it's this combination of the philosophy and means, in other words, how to analyze something according to philosophy and according to Nyaya. So what you can do with that then is to establish Krishna consciousness, protect Krishna consciousness from those who are not, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. And then a blessing is here that we may always be, situated at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and not get distracted by, the karmis and the jnanis, and they're not appreciating this particular perspective, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So then it's clear. And then who are the students here? Yes.
Because I have a sincere desire to study.
Okay.
And have the character also.
Okay, yes. So we see here, and then what is the one main element of, or what are the elements that are mentioned here that are important, or the qualities, what qualities of these students are we looking for?
Chase the teachings and never be finished.
Yes, okay, the chase of the teachings, and then the blessing is that they'll never be distracted. Yeah. Yeah, so then, and in here we see is that they use their intelligence to be able to analyze and do all these different things so they can appreciate what's going on, right? So this is the qualities that's being looked for, right? So in other words, stay awake. You might learn something. Okay, how are we doing? Okay, on Vikshiki, the science of critical study. So remember he says we're not going into the Atmavidya here, we're going into the Hetuvidya. Right? The Atmavidya is the other part of the course, right? It means this is being given, then we study, the Shastra like that, and so then that will be our Atmavidya. The Vedas. The Acharyas maintain that the Vedic religion is eternal, Sanatana. It is based on scriptures that are said also to be eternal, but revealed in different cycles of time to mantra dristas, seers or sages called rishis. These scriptures are called the Vedas, which comprise the Samhitas, hymns, the Brahmanas, rituals, etc., Aranyakas, and Upanishads, philosophy. Division of the Vedas. From the standpoint of subject matter, the Vedas may be divided into three sections, namely khandas. Namely, Upasana Khanda, the prayers, Karma Khanda, the rituals, and the Jnana Khanda, the knowledge. Atmavidya, science of the soul. The Upanishads and Aranyakas deals with the soul and its destiny and constitute a very important branch of study called Atmavidya, the science of soul. Atmavidya, the spiritual science, or Brahmavidya, the divine science, which is the foundation of all other sciences. Right? And Krishna says in Gita that of all the 14 books, he is this Atmavidya, he is the Vedanta, right? Because that's the most important of all of them. Everything else is based on this. Right? The Hetu Vidya is the presentation of this, right? The study of this, the analyzation of this. Okay? You see the connection? Atmavidya as Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, establishing Chaitanya's philosophy. Srila Bhaktivinoda explains the essence of Atmavidya. Quote, the essence of teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that love of Krishna is the treasure of eternal religion for the jivas. A jiva cannot be severed from the treasure of that religion forever, but that religion has gradually concealed itself in the innermost cell of the jiva soul on account of the growth of his attachment towards other things, he being bewitched by Maya due to his forgetfulness about Krishna. That is the reason for the jiva's suffering the misery of the world. If, however, fortunately he remembers, I am the eternal servitor of Krishna, that religion must reappear and make him recoup his health. Okay, so this is Chaitanya Sikshamrita. Okay, so we'll come across this. Okay, now see here is that the natural love for Krishna doesn't go away. It's not something foreign. It's there in the heart of the living entity. It's just covered. But what is it covered by?
Maya.
Yes, and what form? An artist, but yes. So, in other words, the natural thing is the living entity being dependent, it will be attached, right? Electricity is attached to the generator. It's connected. Attached means connected, right? So the attachment's not the problem. The problem is that he's attached to other objects than Krishna, right? So as soon as we adjust that attachment that is towards Krishna, that's the natural eternal religion of the living entity. Right? So Maya means is that you're attaching yourself to something that's not Krishna. Right? That's basically the principle. Right? So that's what we're trying to do. So we can see in all cases whatever is going on in our philosophy, in our process is actually very simple. Right? We're simply trying to readjust our perspective, our attachment to Krishna rather than away from Krishna. And the efficient element of that is having the proper attitude in the association of devotees. In other words, those who have that determination in their association, we try to develop that attitude. That's the most dynamic thing. Right? We see everything starts with this. Then there are so many details, you know, of the philosophy, of that process of the mind, you know, attachment, how it works, how we get attached to something, so therefore how do we unattach ourselves to something and then reattach it to Krishna. Does that make sense? So there's so much detail on that, so that's what we do. But the process itself is very, very simple, right? Connect everything to Krishna, that's the natural position. Don't connect something to Krishna, that's not natural, right? You connect it, it takes you towards Krishna. You don't connect it, it takes you away. Right? You're going towards Krishna, you're happy. You're going away from Krishna, you're not happy. Right? Does that make sense? Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that these anartas is actually creates unhappy situations. Right? That's the point. You may think it's happy, but because it's coming from passion or ignorance, it won't be happy. Right? Does that make sense? Or even if it's goodness, it only has a certain amount of happiness, which still is not enough happiness for the living entity. Right? The mode of goodness still isn't enough. Does that make sense? Because it's not unlimited. The mode of goodness is not unlimited. Right? Ananda is. Right? The Hladini Shakti is. Right? So therefore we see as the living entity, whatever he does, he's always trying to increase that. Whatever is the experience, the one's trying to increase it. Right? So then there's a limit to how much you can increase it in the material world. So even if you have the best, it still there's a limit how far it can be increased. Right? But in the spiritual world, it can be increased unlimitedly. There's no end. Then the living entity is satisfied in that situation. Right? Does that make sense? His desire to increase that is never satiated, because that's in connection with Krishna. Okay? Yes?
Is it only by the touch of passion and ignorance that the material mode of goodness is different from Shuddha Sattva?
Is it only by the mode of touch of passion ignorance? You could say basically the situation, because pure goodness, that's the Vishuddha Sattva, that's the situation where there is no contamination. But at the same time, is that platform is still not enough. You still have to go forward to prema. You know what I'm saying? Because you have the material consciousness, then you have prema. And so then you have transcendence in between these two. You know what I'm saying? Someone on the platform of prema is transcendental, but that's not his focus. That's not the interest. That's not actually his situation. Right? Transcendence is this position in between. You're not involved in the material world. But it's only through having that love for Krishna, that interest in Krishna, that desire to be involved with Krishna, that takes it into the realm of prema. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's not enough to get out of the material world. You have to get into the spiritual world. Right? So that is the real platform of liberation for the living entity. The other thing is not, it has no taste, because it's got neither the material taste nor the spiritual taste. That's why it's said that the mayavadis or the impersonalists are worse off than the karmis. Right? In their position. Because we're trying to get out of the material world, we're trying to go upward. Therefore, we take the jnanis as better situated than the karmis, because they're farther along the path of renunciation. They're more detached from the material involvement. So in that way, it's progressive. But as far as the, how you say, their determination in tasting rasa, they're worse off. Because they've eliminated that concept. At least they have the concept that, you know, that there's Brahman. So they haven't eliminated that like the Buddhists. So the Buddhists will eliminate everything, right? That's, they're just, you know, mad. So here it's that they've eliminated something because it's given them trouble. But what they can't understand is that rasa's natural, right? And the point is that material rasa doesn't give any satisfaction to the living entity who is transcendental. Right? So, but transcendental rasa, that will give satisfaction. Right? But that transcendental rasa is, you can say, beyond the realm of transcendence. You know what I'm saying? Transcendence is a state of existence. Right? But as we know, existence, nothing is happening. An intransitive verb is not accomplishing anything. Therefore, there's no taste. So it has to become transitive. It has to be active. Right? And so then, that's when the taste happens. Right? So it's not enough to get to there, because that's the position. The living entity is transcendental by nature. He has inherent love for Krishna, but he actually has to cultivate it. Because voluntary means it's voluntary through the whole process. Right? So that's always the element. He has to come to the transcendent. But because of that desire comes by association. This association is not there, the desire doesn't come. Right? Like you're sitting in your house and you're going on, you're fine. Friend comes over, calls you on the phone and said, oh, hey, this is happening, that's happening, you know, why don't we go? Then you develop the desire. So it's by association that comes. Right? You know, if there's no advertising, you don't even think about something. Right? So advertising is just a method of association. Right? So then you develop desire. So that's why association is so important. You keep good association, your desire increases. You keep bad association, your desire decreases. Is this okay? On Viksike, which includes a theory of reasons. Atmavidya is also referred to as Anvikshiki, or the science of inquiry. Mano 743 uses Anvikshiki as an equivalent for Atmavidya. Kautilya Arthashastra 1.2 recognizes Anvikshiki as a distinct branch of study over and above the three, namely Trayi, the Vedas, Varta, commerce, and Dandaniti, policy, enumerated by Mano. It means Mano will be putting all the 14 books of knowledge into four. Right? Because when you apply these branches, you're always going to condense them because they go together. Like Sanskrit has four different books of knowledge. But when you study Sanskrit, you study them all together. So it becomes one, basically you can say, topic. So Sanskrit, so that's already there. Or you study the Veda. Right? So depending upon your mimamsa, depending upon the particular cultural aspects and applications, then you're going to put it together in certain ways. Right? So here you have the Vedas, commerce, polity, and then Anvikshiki. So you have the Vedas, so you have the four Vedas, so that's put into one body of study. Right? So then you're going to have Anvikshiki, which is going to then be the philosophy with its logical presentation. So that'll be the second branch. You have that, then you're going to be able to apply it. Okay? Does that make sense? Then you're going to have commerce and Dandaniti. So your commerce is then when things are prosperous and everything. Your Dandaniti is the politics to keep it that way. Right? So then in your commerce is going to come anything that you make profit off of. Right? But this is a king looking at it. So he doesn't look at profit meaning money. That's one aspect. Right? If it was a business person, then profit means money. But like for a Brahmin, profit means knowledge, students, austerity. Right? Austerity is the wealth of the Brahmins. So that in that case would be called commerce. Does that make sense? In other words, they use these very, very broad terms. That way in other words, we have the Veda itself, because they're going to memorize the Veda and that as everyone does in the Gurukul. Then you're going to study the philosophy of that, how to apply it with your hermeneutics, so that you understand what's going on. Then you're going to be all the different things that you need as a human being in your life. So that's going to be every other branch of Vedic, art and science. Right? Then, because you're a Kshatriya, you have to keep all this in place against those who... the onslaught of the modes of nature. Therefore, then you have policy, you have politics. So administration, the political science, your diplomacy, all these different things, your niti. Does that make sense? So that will all come into play. Does that make sense? So that you can say that a Kshatriya learns these four topics. Right? All 14 books are there. But just they're categorized according to what is their occupational viewpoint. Does that make sense? So here, then he just, in other words, we see that in Manu and in the Arthashastra, that, because they're both coming in the same line, when they say Anvikshiki, it means philosophy. But it means a logical study of it. Does that make sense? Right? So then it becomes very clear. The distinction between Atmavidya and Anvikshiki lays in this, that while the former embodies certain descriptions about the nature of the soul, the latter contains reasons supporting those descriptions. Right? In other words, how to apply, how to establish that. In other words, the two always go together. You make the philosophical point, the point stands on its own, but because we don't necessarily understand it or may have a doubt, therefore the logic is presented to clear that doubt. Right? So in the Panchanga Nyaya, the thesis and that conclusion, that is your Atmavidya. Right? But everything, and you all say your explanation also. But then the third part and the fourth part, those are then it means removing the doubt, synthesizing it into the thesis. Right? And then you're going to apply it. Right? Connect it to other shastras and show that they say the same thing. Right? Does that make sense? So the two go together very nicely. So even when we discuss philosophy, we already are accepting it as anvikshike. The hetu vidya goes automatically with the atma vidya. Right? We don't distinguish the two. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, we've already been given this concept. It just wasn't given such a fancy term. Thus, Anvishiki deals in fact with two subjects, namely Atvidya, the soul, and the Hetuvidya, theory of reasons. Vatsyayana, Nyayabhasa 111, observes that Anvishiki without the theory of reasons would have like the Upanishad been Atmavidya. This sentence doesn't make sense. Okay? It seems that the hetu vidya in this sentence is lacking. Okay, so it's making the point that is that because you add into it the concept of reasoning, that's what distinguishes anvikshiki from philosophy. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right. The Mimamsa. Anvikshiki, in its philosophical aspect called darshan. Anvikshiki, was previously pointed out, treats two subjects, namely Atmavidya and Hetuvidya. Theory of reason. As it is mainly concerned with the soul, it was also termed as philosophy or darshan. Because it dealt largely with the theory of reasons, it is also termed as logic or Hetu Shastra. This bifurcation of Anvikshiki into philosophy called Darshan and logic called Hetu Shastra commenced when Medhatiti Gotama expounded the logical side of the Anvikshiki. In other words, Gotama took the Anvikshiki side. He didn't actually understand the philosophy, the Atmavidya. So therefore, he expounded specifically the Hetuvidya, and then it became technically in that way like its own science. Right? Means it's always there, it goes together, but he made it into a philosophy, therefore it's one of the six darshans. It falls in the Mimamsa because he takes it as a way of interpreting everything. You just look at it logically, for logical sake. Being logical is your goal, right? Rather than being a method. Does that make sense? Okay. As already observed, the aspect of Anvikshiki, treating of the soul, is called darshan. Darshan literally signifies seeing. It is, in fact, the science which enables us to see the soul. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 2.4.5 says that, quote, the soul is verily to be seen. And the Yajnavalkya Samhita 1.8 declares that, quote, the highest virtue consists in seeing the soul through meditation. In the Mukunda Upanishad 2.2.8, we find that when the soul is seen, the knot of the heart is untied. All doubts are dispelled and all act forces are exhausted. That means, in other words, all the things that drive you to work in the material world, they're exhausted when you see the soul. Thus, the general term anvikshiki, dealing with the soul, was replaced by more specific terms such as Vedanta, Sankhya, Yoga, etc., which were incorporated in anvikshiki as its branches. These specific branches were designated as darshans or systems of philosophy. The word darshan in this special sense occurs in the Bhagavat Purana 8.14.10, Mahabharata Shantiparva 110.45, and Nyayabhasa 3.2.35. So basically he's saying is that they go together. That's the natural presentation. They are their own sciences. But they become separated, and then as people use it, then they'll use it as Vedanta, they'll use it as darshans, they'll use all these different terminologies, depending upon which aspect they're bringing out. one must understand is this is not a chronology that there is this, then there's that. These things have always been there. Right? There's always a Gotama. Right? So every time there'll be a Gotama. Right? It'll be a different soul, different living entity. Just like Indra, there's always an Indra. You know, so in a day of Brahma, there's 14 Indras. They do the same work, but 14 different souls do the same, hold the same office. So Gotama is an office. So someone's always expounding Nyaya. Right? So therefore, even before Gotama comes, people will talk about Nyaya. Right? Because it's always been there. Right? Because there was a previous Gotama who did it. Right? Does that make sense? So all these persons are always there. There's always a Gotama, always a Jaimini. Right, always a Patanjali, like that, because all these philosophies will be done. The living entity that takes that position, that may change. But these philosophies are always there. Right, so therefore these different viewpoints are there, so many different terminologies are there to bring out what exactly it is their perspective and approach to it. Does that make sense? Right? Okay. So we'll stop here for today.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.